Hi, and welcome to the Man Down podcast, the podcast where we talk all things men's mental health, masculinity, vulnerability, and everything in between. From guest interviews with inspirational individuals sharing their own vulnerabilities, through to the breakdown, where we break down different types of mental health support so that you can make the most educated and best informed decision possible to get help for yourself. As Matt Haig says, man up is not a call to strength, it's a demand of weakness. And the time for man up is over. This is Man Down. I am incredibly proud to say that Man Down is brought to you in partnership with Better, a charity raising awareness around mental health and suicide prevention through a range of exciting events and initiatives. Please head over to www.better.org.uk, that's B-E-D-E-R, or find them on Instagram at better_UK. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Man Down, and it's season three. It's going to be an exciting season. I'm recording this pre-launch, so who knows what's going to happen with the launch of season three, but excited to be joined today by Dan Murray-Serta, founder of the brain care company and smart supplement company Heights, and also the Brain Care podcast and the Secret Leaders podcast. And of course, if you've listened to any of the other episodes in season three, you'll have already heard me talk about Clubhouse way too much. And I partly slash wholly blame Dan for that. So Dan is the founder of the Brain Care Club on Clubhouse. If you're not on there, then you should be. But we'll dive into that in a little bit more detail in a second. But Dan, great to have you here, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good, man. I've woken up in a delightful mood. The sun is shining. My cats have been hugging me. My wife as well. I'm socializing at some point today, which of course is something to like look forward to. Very unusual. Glass half full kind of guy, and lots of reasons to be half full this morning as well.
Good stuff. And a good sleep by the sounds of it, which I know is one
and
of the,
good sleep.
The pillars of brain care that we always talk exactly. about. So yeah, no, I was grateful when you pushed it back as well. So we both had a nice sleep this morning. So feeling fresh. And also, yeah, we've touched on cats already, and I feel like I can see a tail there actually coming through.
I just turned my microphone on mute because she was being so loud. She's come to say hello, like right here.
Amazing. Who's this? Is this Bells?
This is Bells.
And the famous Bells.
She's very famous, because if I'm ever trying to do anything serious, like a podcast recording or anything, is when she decides that she has to come and destroy. I was doing an interview for Brain Care podcast yesterday with the editor of Wired, and she literally came and destroyed the entire rig. Like, as in, she just has this homing missile of ruining things. So she came and knocked over my standing desk, which my laptop was on, plus my microphone and everything. So like the interview went upside down.
Good.
Whilst I was talking to him.
Excellent.
So yeah, it's just being better behaved right now. But yeah, she wants to let you know that she's listening.
Always. No, good to have you here, yeah. Lars. Yeah.
And also, you know, get into spirituality immediately. But there's a great Eckhart Tolle quote in The Power of Now, which is, I have met many Zen masters in my life, but all the best ones were cats.
Interesting. He strikes me as a cat person.
Yeah, he's very much a cat person.
Definitely,
yeah. Although he never met Bells, because Bells is not Zen. But Bells, yeah, she's not really a cat. My other cat, Archie, is very Zen, so it's okay. I've got good
balance. I feel like Archie features less in.
Yeah, because he's always being well behaved.
Yeah. You never get the attention if you're well
exactly.
behaved.
Exactly. It's so, not really yeah. fair, is it? Yeah, he's not the attention seeker.
Yeah. So I'd love to start talking a little bit about Heights.
Yes.
And just, you know, I could tell people what it is, but I think knowing you, you probably do a much better job. You know, you live and breathe it. So yeah, just for people who aren't familiar with Heights, can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, for sure. So Heights is a brain care company. And what that means is our whole entire purpose is essentially to help people make brain care simple. We've defined that term brain care because we sort of analyzed that it doesn't really exist. So, you know, the example that we use, if I look right down at my table here, is I've got my skincare right here, but my cream. I've already brushed my teeth today, so I've had some oral care, I've had some skincare, And the reason that I put cream on my face and brush my teeth is because my skin and my hair decay. And I know that as a human being, I know that these things decay. And I don't do it because I expect that once I brush my teeth, they're going to be glistening white. I'm doing it to keep me out of the dentist and to keep my breath fresh and all of these other like hygiene factors, ultimately. When it comes to the matters of the brain, what actually happens is people, and it's obviously a very meta conversation that people, ironically, with all these funny terms, like struggle to wrap their head around. Mm-hmm. Because again, like going back to a spirituality question, you know, a great statement from Sam Harris, who's a very good spirituality teacher, you know, is where is your head? Prove that you have a head, which obviously is impossible. Like a human being, you can take a photo and see you have a head. You can look in a mirror and have a head, but like you specifically, personally, cannot see that you have a head. So you can't really prove that you've got anything other than, you know, just something floating on your shoulders. Mm. You can see the rest of your body. So very similarly, you know, along that line of thought, you know, we don't spend any time actually thinking about our brain. And the time that we do spend thinking about our brain is actually wrapped up thinking about our ego. It's wrapped up thinking about our minds and like what we want. And, you know, a lot of the natural like predications to the monkey mind, ultimately, and the things that don't necessarily serve us so well, but certainly satisfy us in the moment. And, you know, that also wraps up into all of our insecurities. And anyway, you get the idea. Any human being listening to this can certainly relate to the fact that if they are thinking about their brain, you know, it might be obviously related to the fact that they're tired or something like that, or they're not, or they're low energy, but they kind of feel that in their body more than their brain. So we sort of had this insight through experience that a lot of the things that relate to matters of the brain are completely ignored. And on a daily basis, there is no behavior. There's no cadence. There's no, you know, being brought up by your parents and being told to look after your brain on a daily basis. There's none of this stuff. Your brain is your single most important organ. You've got about 86 billion neurons and about 100 trillion synapses going on in this like unbelievable supercomputer that from the age of 25 starts decaying. There's nothing to be like terrified about, because that is just how the human body works. From the, you know, up until 25, your brain is still growing. From the age of 25, it is decaying. But you can slow that rate of aging. You can slow that decay. And the way that you can do it is by understanding what your brain is literally made of physiologically. So, you know, the reality is, you know, without going into the neuroscientific stuff too much, your brain is an organ. It's made literally of things. If you think about it like a muscle anyway, you think about, you know, the way that you would keep a muscle fit. If you don't exercise it, you'll start to lose it. If you do exercise it, you'll grow it back. You know, anyone that's like, you know, done like bouts of training or whatever and then had an injury would understand that, you know, whilst that's really frustrating, you start to lose the muscle that you worked on. When you go back into the gym and you do it all again, it actually comes back twice as fast because you've got muscle memory. So, you know, the brain works exactly the same way. So the really exciting thing about the brain is it's never, ever, ever too late. There's so much evidence to say that even in your like 80s and 90s, starting to look after your brain is not too late. So that's the really awesome thing. It's plastic. You can look after it at any time and you can shape it and improve it how you want to. The problem is none of us are having that conversation generally in society at all. So we're just going about our daily lives being pulled in every which direction. And when we think about the things that go into actually taking care of our brain, you know, nutrition and hydration are like two of the most scientifically proven ways that we can actually optimize our brain health for longevity, for clear thoughts, for sleep, for performance, for energy, for all of the things that we actually want in life that are governed by our brains. So this is where the conversation gets meta. If you think about all the things that we say that we want, all that's really stopping us is an optimized brain. But we don't generally take behaviors that optimize our brain power whatsoever. So the reality is, like, our job is to introduce this concept of brain care to the world at Heights. And whilst our launch product has been this smart supplement for brain health, that's because nutrition is actually really, if you look at the list, nutrition is really complicated to get right for the brain. even more so with a myriad of diets that people have. So on a personal level, I'm vegetarian. I was vegan. Those are two terrible diets for the brain, broadly speaking. You know, they are great if you are like piously incredible, but if you're like doing it for environmental reasons, which I am, then like broadly speaking, and you know, and you're not a nutritionist, you know, broadly speaking, I don't sit around eating a diet like I'm a rabbit. I'm just avoiding certain foods to eat, but those foods do have nutrients that are really valuable for my brain, and especially fish. So DHA, omega-3, is essentially what our brains are mostly made of. So our brains are 60% fat, and 90% of that fat is that one single compound, DHA. It's like the fundamental building block that our brains are made of. When you go vegan or vegetarian, you tend to obviously cut fish out. Therefore, you usually cut out that source of DHA that's so important for our brains. And the reality, you just noticed that she's come, meowed and come for more attention. So the reality is fish get their DHA source from algae. So it's really interesting learning about the food chain. The most sustainable, best source of DHA and EPA, omega-3s. Omega-3s are three types, but we won't get into all of that in this podcast. It's not so relevant, but they get it from algae. The problem is most vegetarians and vegans don't sit around eating plates of algae all the time. So whilst you have vegetarians and vegans being very vocal about, well, we can get everything that we need, it's true you can, but like all of the conversations about, in my opinion, nutrition and mental health and all of these things relate to this concept of you can do this stuff, but do you do that stuff, right? And this is a lot of the stuff that comes into how to have better behaviors. It does come into behavior change. Most people just do not do the things. They are just aware of the science that proves that you could do those things. So that was actually my experience. I had, and I guess this is irrelevant, I'm going on a massive rant, I'm sorry, but I thought it'd be maybe helpful to explain why I'm actually, you know, interested in brain nutrition as the thing. I can stop for a second though if you want. I've just said loads of different words and jumped all over.
I just thought I enjoyed Bell's coming in to agree with the point around algae and omega-3. I think it's a nice time to take a pause. But no, I think you read my mind. I think that's where I was. Oh, there she is. That's where I was hoping to take it next. It'd be great because I think with a lot of I suppose purpose / passion led businesses and projects come out of personal experience and kind of a need for that thing yourself. And I take it that is the case with Heights as well. So it'd be great to kind of hear the backstory, kind of where it all came from for you.
Yeah, exactly that. So I went through a period of being very, very happy. I mean, I did go through a period of being happy. Like I said, I'm generally like half glass, half full. I go through the same stresses and everything else as other people, but I was running a company at the time that was growing very fast. We'd raised a really decent round of money. It was in tech. It was all of these things that I kind of worked really hard towards. For the first time, I was getting a good salary. I'd met my wife. We were getting married. Like all of these awesome things were like happening. In the future, and my mum had just recovered from cancer, so like as a human being in general who like you know starts his day with gratitude and likes to really think about how lucky he is, that was like a long list of things that like you know objectively I was really grateful for. And then just out of nowhere I just couldn't sleep, and you know it happened one night and then another night and then 7 days and then 14 days, and I was like, what is going on? Obviously I you know, at the time, I didn't know anything really about mental health, broadly speaking, other than I'm very open-minded to speaking about mental health, generally speaking. So all of my, if you asked me about mental health, you know, a few years ago, I'd have just related it to as simple as or as binary as if you have a mental health problem or you are suffering from like some kind of, you know, self-doubt or whatever the thing might be, just be open and talk about it and don't hold it in. So I'm like, I'd never done talking therapy, interestingly, until 2021, but almost because I've got like verbal diarrhea, as you're hearing, like if someone asks me how I am, I just tell them. So, you know, I've never really had an issue of like keeping my feelings in. Like, you know, I'm very good at gravitating towards people that will be themselves or not. So I didn't really think ever about mental health being anything to do with your brain. And so I went through this period of insomnia. and then really, really chronic anxiety. And again, I experienced anxiety a billion times because as an entrepreneur, your job is to spend time thinking about the future. Mm-hmm. So again, Eckhart Tolle, once again, I mean, it's a quote on stress more than anxiety, but he says, you know, stress is a symptom of being here, but wanting to be there.
Yeah.
And I just think that's like the most succinct statement I've ever heard explaining such an obvious reality. And the reason I love his work so much is because it all hits home. Yeah. It's so incredibly articulated. And, you know, for anyone that experiences anxiety whose job is to think about what's going on in the future, it just feels like common sense. If you spend time constantly imagining the future that doesn't yet exist, you'll cause yourself to have anxious thoughts. And for me, I was like, that's okay. That's like part of my human existence, not the end of the world. But over this period, my anxiety was like extremely chronic. So it ended up manifesting itself. I was in a board meeting and I'd get hot and cold panic, like a panic attack and hot and cold sweats. I'd have to leave the meeting, right? Like whilst I'm presenting, you know, that stuff's incredibly embarrassing.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, 3 or 4 months in. And over this period, I went to see the doctor. I went to see a sleep therapist. I went to see a normal therapist. I went to see like all sorts of people. Doctor gave me sleeping pills. You know, I tried Calm, I tried sleep pill. I tried drinking more. I tried drinking less. I tried weed. I tried like anything I possibly could to just like stay asleep. Because that's the thing. My symptoms actually weren't that I was never going to sleep. It was that I was going to sleep at midnight-ish after sheer exhaustion, but then I'd wake up at 2 a.m. and so wide awake that I couldn't stay in bed because I was just like full of energy. So that went on for about 6 months. And it was basically crippling because you give up on thinking that something's going to come around and help. And you give up on this idea that there's anything around the corner that's like actually like likely to have any impact whatsoever on solving this issue for you. And I went for dinner with a friend and she basically said, have you heard of brain nutrition? And I was like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she'd actually read this book called Optimum Nutrition for the Mind. And in that book, you know, there's a guy by a guy called Patrick Holford. And in that book, he like essentially posited, which is very practical, you know, he'd said, you know, most of us think that, you know, everything about mental health can be solved in the mind, but actually a lot of it is solved in the brain. So, you know, for a lot of people that are avoiding nutrition as an answer, like that's actually the first place I'd start. But he's a nutritionist, so he would say that, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, she suggested I go and see a dietitian, which I did. And that dietitian diagnosed me in the space of 1 minute. She immediately, I explained to her that I'd gone and tried everything, like, you know, that I was aware of. But she said, you've gone and tried everything for a psychological mental health condition. You do have a mental health problem because insomnia is a mental health problem. Mm-hmm. But if you've tried everything for a psychological mental health cure and nothing's worked, maybe you should think about it as a biological or physiological issue as well. And I just never, ever, ever thought of this idea of mental health or this idea of the mind as something that could manifest itself like from the physical organ of the brain. And I think even like saying it still, right, it's taken a long time for me to understand that there is a difference between the brain and the mind. Mm. And most people don't get that at all, understandably. And most people that have had a mental health problem would never think about their brain. They would only think about their mind. And this is the thing, that like, she was very annoyed because she was basically like, according to the data, you know, it's about 50-50. About 50% of mental health problems are psychologically induced. About 50% have to do with a whole array of other things. It might be your genetics. They might be your, they're very commonly your diet as well. And this is to say, you know, poor sleep, low energy, brain fog, all of those things, they also count as mental health problems. It's not just mental health problems and not just depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, like extreme things. There's like a big array of them when you actually get into the detail. And so many of them are actually caused by our diet. So she really opened my eyes to this. She was very unemotional and was just like, you should try these supplements. I'm going to prescribe you DHA omega-3, blueberry extract, because it'll clean out your lymphatic system when you sleep because it's an antioxidant. And B vitamin complex because you are having issues with your energy because you're having an energy spike at 2 a.m. and B vitamins are literally what your brain and body will run on from an energy point of view. So I've never been a supplement taker in my life. wasn't very I wasn't especially open-minded to it, to be honest, but I was also desperate. So I went and did what she told me to do. Within a week, I was sleeping like a baby, and my anxiety had gone away completely, because it's obviously understandably quite attached to my experience of insomnia. And I called her up to thank her and tell her what a genius she was and all this stuff. And she was mostly just exasperated. So she wasn't really that happy for me. She was basically just like, yeah, I know. As in, I'm literally a medical professional. I told you this stuff would work. Why are you surprised? And for me, I was like, well, you know, if it's so obvious, why didn't my doctor say this? Which is incredibly triggering for her again.
Yeah.
Because she's like, well, exactly. So this is the thing. It like really opened my eyes to like, you know, I went to see a doctor, trained on the NHS. Like I told him all my symptoms. He could have said, it might be psychological, it might be biological. Go see a dietitian and try these things. But he didn't. He just said, here are sleeping pills.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the issue as well in society. Like, so interesting, but like doctors don't really understand nutrition. And by that nature, it turns out they don't really understand the brain, which is an arrogant comment to say as like an entrepreneur. I'm not saying I don't understand the brain more than a doctor, but it's like, it didn't factor in because they don't get trained on this stuff. And when you go and see a nutrition professional, you know, a dietitian, their job is literally to treat sick people.
Mm-hmm.
So mental health problem counts as like, I'm a sick person with a sick problem. It just happens to be in my mind. And her being able to so quickly identify the solution and it working so fast, really just, you know, it blew my mind in the sense of why I had to have suffered for 6 months when I could have tried that at the same time. So it's just such a lack of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And trust. And this is the other issue, is like trust has been so eroded by Instagram mostly, because most of the products are cheap, most of the products don't work. There are lots of quite tacky people promoting products that you wouldn't trust. Mm-hmm. And so it just becomes like really hard to get quite a lot of blindness to this stuff. So this is, you know, interestingly, exactly where my instinct came from with Heights, which is I think the world could do with a brand that is like positive and uplifting and talks to the science of nutrition and mental health and talks to the different things that you can do to take care of your brain. And if you think about the way that the world changes, the way that people change in the world, it very rarely comes from, interestingly, like big monumental moments, right? It's not that like Usain Bolt, the fastest man alive, breaks all the records, etc. It's that like Nike have a cool campaign to get you running in a community. If you think about like why people like why yoga is so mainstream, it's not because like, you know, of some yogi in an ashram. It's because Lululemon make cool sweatpants and get people moving in a community. And it's like, I really believe in like the power of brands to get people together and create a movement and create better change, especially in wellness where it's so important. So all of this stuff led to me thinking, you know, the last 10 years have been an amazing growth in wellness brands, making us more healthy by making us want and desire. And that's the important thing, want and desire and aspire to be the type of people who have their protein shakes, wear their Huel t-shirt, all of this stuff. It's like so consumer led, but as long as there's a purpose behind it, that's okay, because that's literally what makes people move and change. So I had this idea for Heights, which is like, with all the products that we created, all the content we created, all the effort and energy that we put into the next 10 or 20 years was all related to this idea of how to take care of your brain. Like what kind of impact could we have and how could that compound? So I started writing a newsletter on, you know, what science says you can do to take care of your brain, and started sending it every single week. It was called Dawn at the time because I didn't have a name in mind. And that's basically how the company started. I still write that newsletter 145 weeks later, pretty much, still goes out every Sunday. And I've, you know, as time has gone on, you know, been thinking more and more about, you know, what is the next product? What's the next thing that we're doing? How are we communicating? You know, and there's no easy or right way to do it, but I've always had a very clear objective in mind. So I'll stop there. But like that's the experience. I'm making your job as an interviewer extremely easy by just
you really are. Yeah, you really are. It's fantastic. It's making
You can't see Jamie's face, but he was sleeping.
I was on mute. My camera is off. I actually left the room briefly.
Yeah.
I think it's an amazing story. I think it, as I said, it's so so often the case with these purpose-led businesses. And I think, you know, people bemoan capitalism a lot. And I can definitely be guilty of that. But I think this kind of purpose-led business within the confines of capitalism, there is no harm to be done there because it is genuinely helping people. And I think that's the important thing. And I do, and this is why I love Heights, and this is a free ad for Heights, mm-hmm. but as a brand, because it's about holistic brain health. It's not about, it's not just the supplements. It's not saying this is our product, this is what we sell. It's, you know, if we think about the pillars of brain care that I mentioned at the start, it's things that are, you know, not for sale. It's
sleep, well, that's the thing. Breath, like, I was, yeah, exactly. Right. As in, you and I have done, I don't know, 50 clubhouses together, maybe more.
Yeah.
There's so many, right? And you'll have been in at least 50 clubhouse rooms. And this is the thing that people don't really understand, or, you know, investors, the smart ones do. But it's like, I will have done hundreds of clubhouse rooms at this point, never mentioned our product once.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to sell in most of the rooms other than lifestyle. You know, the amount of time and effort and energy that I've spent in rooms with you or Adam or Dr. Russell Kennedy, anxiety, meditation, breathwork. I've got nothing to sell in those rooms. I never, ever, ever mentioned the product. I never mentioned the website. None of those things. And the reason for that is because the company's purpose is to help people understand how to take care of their brain. So if you think about where you are in a funnel, for example, as a consumer, you know, if you are not aware of looking after your brain, even just by breathing or meditation, or just like taking a moment to think about your brain in the first place, you're so far from wanting supplements for it that I've got no interest in trying to convince you that it's an important thing. It's not. The most important thing is that you start to think about your brain and how to take care of it. Once you're interested in taking care of your brain, you might naturally become curious yourself by reading. And we've got so much content, podcasts, etc., on the various different science-backed ways you can do, like, look after your brain. You know, I feel like this is a journey that people have to go on for themselves. You shouldn't force them in any kind of way. But the only time where I, you know, do feel comfortable doing that, essentially, is, you know, if someone's really suffering. So this is the thing, like, it's, you know, again, not wanting to push the product and stuff. Like, sometimes I get actually criticized for that, because the whole point is the product really does help a lot of people as well. So if you struggle with sleep, if you struggle with brain fog, like, if there's a pain going through your situation currently, and that's the other thing worth saying, you know, a lot of these things, you know, they can happen as microaggressions over time. You don't really notice them, and then suddenly you have a big problem. And suddenly, when you have the big problem, nutrition can make a massive difference at that point, because you're usually just really, really low on what you need. So the impact becomes really high, really fast. And that's often, like, sadly, you know, a lot of our Trustpilot reviews that are, again, I had this conversation with someone the other day where they were comparing us to other supplement companies, and our product's more expensive than most of the other supplements because it's much higher quality. And they said they spent an hour agonizing. They said, I've got this whole screenshot, I spent an hour comparing you to 7 other supplement companies, and I ended up choosing you because I noticed that all of their reviews were about the service. So about customer service, you know, great people, nice company, all this stuff. But all of yours were about the product and the way that the product made them feel. Which is a massive difference, right? It's very rare to have a product, especially a supplement, where people comment on the fact that this has really helped me with X. And I think, sadly, a lot of the reason for that is, you know, sometimes people do find this product at a point like I did, right? Sheer exhaustion, like, really at the end of my tether, and frankly, like, unable to fix a solution of the mind with any more, you know, like, even breathwork, right? Like, none of these things were helping because I had a fundamental issue at the root of my brain, which was that it was underfed. You know, it gives off signals. So this is the thing that's really interesting, you know, like, learning more about listening to your body and listening to your brain. You know, my brain was saying, I'm fucking starving.
Yeah.
Feed me the things that I need to thrive. But you're not a nutritionist or a scientist. You don't know this. So now I'm going to give you all of the signals that make you go and see a professional.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to stop. I'm going to literally stop sleeping for you, so you do something about it. It's really interesting. Your body reacts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's fascinating as well, the point around price, because it was something that I was going to ask you about, and I think I've kind of come to a bit of an answer in my head, because when I first saw the price, my initial reaction, I think just because of the market, was that's quite expensive.
Very expensive market.
Yeah, exactly. But then I think, what you said and what we've both seen around kind of the feedback on the product and the efficacy of the product and the fact that people do love it is partly, you know, case enough for the price, but also it comes back to this willingness or this lack of willingness for people to actually engage with their brain health, because it's that in terms of your brain being that important that you've already talked about at the start, putting, you know, we spend £100-150 on going to the gym a month.
Yeah,
we're not really willing to spend.
Oh, never mind that. I mean, how much do you spend on coffee?
Exactly.
It's so interesting. The price thing is our biggest challenge, I think, because when we started the company, we were so clear on values. One of them is trust and be trusted. Long story short, you know, we had this whole thing, which is, I've never read Which magazine, and that still hasn't happened, but I know what it does, right? So I was like, the whole point of what we've done is, if you were to have our product in Which, you could not beat it pound for pound. It would be impossible, right? So the unit economics of our product are difficult because it's like fully sustainable supply chain. All the ingredients are from the highest quality manufacturers. What that means is our omega-3 oil is from Nova Scotia in Canada. Our blueberry extract is from a blueberry farm in Italy. We've gone and scoured. My business partner did all this, all the scouring for the highest quality ingredients. We bring them together. Our capsule is basically the Maserati of capsules. It's a duo cap, which is basically a patented capsule that dissolves into your gut so the nutrients get to work, right? So, you know, any other vitamin that doesn't have that capsule is low quality. So all of these things are we're making the most expensive thing that we can possibly make. And then it's two capsules a day. So other supplements you get, it's 30 days supply, but ours is 60 capsules because you can't fit scientifically. Again, we're going against the science. You can't fit what your brain needs according to science inside one capsule. And we always have this joke, which is we're trying to work this out originally with our chief science officer, Tara, a very, very smart neuroscientist, but kept trying to say these things to us. And we were like, she was like, well, why not? We're like, well, because of physics. It doesn't fit inside a single pill. There's nothing we can do about that. It fits inside two pills. So then you're suddenly you're paying for two. So even the customers, they're not used to, you see 30-day supply, and most people are used to getting one capsule. And then the other thing is, what people do in the industry is they fill a capsule up with bulking agents and ingredients, because there is a legal point with supplements, for whatever reason, there's a loophole where you can put in a minimum amount and make a marketing claim that's nowhere near the scientific efficacy, nowhere near the scientific dose. But you have to say all this stuff on the pack. So 99% of the supplements that anyone has will have an asterisk on the front, and then in the back it will say, you need this much. It's called NRV. You need, say, if you're talking about omega-3s, you need 250 micrograms a day. But if you buy 7Cs, they give you 45 micrograms a day, because that's the minimum amount they're allowed to put in and still make a marketing claim that it helps a healthy heart, healthy brain. So you now need to take 7Cs for 6 days in a row just to get one day's worth of what science says, but you don't know that as a customer. So you buy them for £15, think you've got a great deal, see Heights, which is 40, which contains omega-3s and vitamin D and C and zinc and all of the different blueberry extracts, B vitamins, et cetera, 20 nutrients your brain needs. And you think immediately, that's expensive because my experience with vitamins is they're all 15 quid. But then if you actually extrapolate what's in vitamins for 15 quid and made them the right amount of, the right dosage according to science, they all actually end up more expensive than Heights. And this is the challenge that we've got, which is, I always get from customers saying, I didn't know all this, right? This is nerdy information at this point, who cares kind of thing. Right. I didn't know all this. Why don't you make a big deal of this? Why don't you lead with this? If I knew about the price point, if I knew about, other vitamins are crap and yours are good, and this is why, and this is what they do, and this is what you do. And if I knew that, I would choose Heights. And we're like, the problem really becomes, and the complete truth of this is, our job is to make you take care of your brain. We're not a vitamin company. Mm-hmm. And as a brand, when you're not a vitamin company, you don't spend your time belittling other vitamin companies.
Yeah.
It's neither here nor there. Our job is to make you care about your brain so much that it's a subscription product. So it goes from £1 a day. So our job is to say, if you care about your most important organ enough to spend £1 a day with the most high quality premium fuel, etc., then we're here for you.
Yeah.
It's not to say, like, they're bad, we're good. So it's hard because, like, as a founder, you want to explain this stuff to people. You really do. But, like, you've only got so much space on a website.
Yeah.
And our job is to make people think about when the last time they took care of their brain was. And here are different ways to do it. Here are the free ways. This one happens to be a paid way.
Yeah, I think that's the thing I see a lot with breathwork as well. And it's an old saying, but you can lead a horse to water. And I think that's the thing. It's what I see is people say, well, it's just breathing. It's too simple. And then you show them a complex solution. And they're like, ah, it's too complicated or too expensive. And there's always a reason not to do the thing. And I don't know if what your thoughts are on this. Do you think it could be down to the fact, you know, I pay for the gym because I can see the change. I can actually physically see what is happening. And I'll buy that product because it's a thing, it's an item. Whereas with brain care, with mental health, it's invisible to a certain extent other than the feeling.
Yeah. 100%. And I think, you know, this is the other issue is people might feel suddenly amazing in a binary way, but then you can have a bad night's sleep. You can also still have a bad night's sleep. You might have a baby, you might have a cat, you might have a dog, you might have you might just have a bad night's sleep, it might be hot, whatever the thing is. And so, like, instantly you could be like, oh, I guess it's not like perfect. And it's like, no, nothing is going to make you feel perfect for your whole entire life. Life is life. Your job here is to, like, optimize your life the best you possibly can and optimize your health and well-being the best you possibly can. This is like common sense, but you're right. People gravitate immediately to trying to relate something to a certain feeling, a certain improvement. And that is definitely a challenge. And I do think with brain care in general, and certainly, like, you know, mental health, most people just do what I did. And this is the hardest thing. They just wait until there's a real problem. As our mutual friend Russell Kennedy always says, you know, they wait until there's a massive alarm in their system. And at that point, you've got no choice because you can't carry on. And this is, I mean, especially, you know, as this is Man Down podcast, especially men. Men always wait too long. You know, we always wait to top it up. And I am guilty of that massively myself. You know, I hear my wife on her health trackers about 4 or 5 times a day, whereas I'd be like the exact other end of the spectrum, so like an unhealthy level of, like, you know, wait until something gets really bad to finally go to the hospital to sort it out. And it's exactly what I did with my mental health, with insomnia and anxiety, which is just like, I was trying to do stuff, but I was still trying to avoid going in to see a professional about it, like, one way or another. So, you know, this is the thing that's really interesting to me about wellness. So, you know, I think that the last 10 years, like I mentioned, have been an amazing, amazing, amazing space for brands to make an impact on how we as consumers think about well-being. It's no longer like we're doing it just because we want to live longer or be healthier or all these things that we should care about. It's not really like that. It's like a social status. And good or bad that might be, and obviously we would say bad, you know, that is irrelevant. Like, to me, it literally doesn't matter. Like, if most consumers are, you know, vain, vacuous slaves to capitalism or whatever, which we mostly are, whether we like to admit it or not, it's all deeply rooted in our subconscious, then if the things that we can value and the things that we can attribute to, like, satisfying our, like, carnal desires to be liked, to be interesting, to be cool, to be funny, to be whatever, if those can all switch from being basically addicted to sugar, caffeine, tobacco, etc., and switch to the things that are actually going to help us live longer, happier, healthier lives, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's an amazing move in society. So this is where wellness really, like, becomes interesting to me. And this is where I think, you know, the last 10 years have been massively about, you know, maybe 20 years, but especially the last 10, you know, if you think about how many people you would see 10 years ago walk around with a protein shake, it was really embarrassing to do that. It was like, really, like, you know, you had to be a bodybuilder. Otherwise it felt embarrassing. If you're a skinny guy or a fat guy and you walk around with a protein shake, you kind of feel embarrassed because you feel like, I don't belong in this, like, image people have of me. 5 years ago, that starts to change. Now, the most normal thing, everyone would walk around with a protein shake. No one would even judge you. And a lot of this judgment that goes on inside your head might be going on inside your head, but regardless, like, you would no longer care because it's so completely normal in society to do that. So that's been like the erosion of what's happened by having a physical fitness movement over the last 10 years for wellness, where it's now something you're proud of. It's actually kind of embarrassing if you're not looking after your body. It's like switched the other way. I think the next 10 years is going to be that for our mental health and our brains. So we're only right at the start. And that's why, you know, when I think about, you know, defining a category, calling it brain care and making sure that people are, you know, experiencing brain care through breathwork, for example, great, I've done my job. You know, a lot of people, and obviously these are like small numbers in the sense of the world, but a lot of people might never have discovered you or breathwork whatsoever if they just saw breathwork.
Yeah.
But what happened is they have come to a brain care room, heard the idea of brain care, experienced a pain solution scenario. So it might be, it might be the anxiety room. It might be how to help alleviate stress going back into the workplace. Could have been that specific topic. And be like, oh, okay, cool. These guys know what they're talking about. And then Brain Care Club has a breathwork session. And they're like, oh yeah, cool. I'll try that because I'm into this like thing about brain care. It's making me feel better. Or I'm interested. And suddenly it's like a gateway. So, you know, if I can think about it like a gateway drug, you know, that'd be a perfectly, I'd be very happy for it to be that kind of gateway drug for various experiences that are actually going to improve people's brains.
Definitely. Yeah, I can definitely see that movement coming as well. I think it's brewing. And I think I'm probably a bit of a case in point. The fact that 2 years ago, I did scoff at the idea of a breathwork session. And now I'm, you know, the biggest breathwork gnaws you'll find on the planet. So it's a real shift, and I can see it happening more and more. And I think I always kind of go to my parents or, you know, their generation as a bit of a, barometer for this stuff. If I can hold a conversation with someone my parents' age and they seem genuinely interested in talking to me about breathwork, then I'm like, okay, there is change coming. And
can you?
It varies massively.
Yeah.
I think one of the guys I trained with who taught me a lot of what I teach now, a guy called Alan Dolan, has been teaching breathwork for I think 17 plus years. And he lives in Lanzarote, but when he comes back to London, he uses the taxi drivers, black cab drivers, as his barometer. And he said he's seen a massive shift. Because it used to be they would laugh, and now it's them turning around saying, oh, my wife's got, you know, she's got asthma. Like, could this help with that? And they're actually engaging in the conversation, which is really interesting. So yeah, I think there's good things coming. And I definitely think the entire holistic approach to it is the way to get people in the conversation, because that's where you find the things that work for you. I think that wasn't intentional, but a very nice segue onto what is your, you know, brain care routine? What does your self-care look like? What's the toolkit that works for you?
Good question. So I think most important thing to mention is that I start the day with gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get my, just so I can get my tools here, by the way, obviously, underneath my Archie and Bell's painted image that a genuine Startup Radio fan sent me. I've got this note here, which is a very simple note that says, I'm thankful for waking up today. And I keep that in the living room now, actually. But for the first 2 years, I've had that note. That's the same note I've had for about 4 years now. And I had that note. I wrote that note, rather, and put it by my bedside table for, you know, like I say, 2 years, so that it was the first thing that I woke up and saw. And the reason for that is as soon as I started learning about the importance of mental health, I actually, by complete coincidence, a friend of mine said, you know, you should go to this tour. I was going out to the world. I didn't know anything about the space, right? And I was like, I'm here to learn. So I don't know what products I'm going to make or what I'm going to do, but like, I'm here to learn about the space. So just throw stuff at me and I'll go. And someone said, like, there's this really interesting psychologist that's speaking central London today. He's like infamous and all this stuff. Just go. Anyway, the guy's name is Martin Seligman, which obviously, if you know anything about psychology, he's like the father of modern psychology, positive psychology. And he has one of the thing with psychology, it's very hard to prove scientifically a lot of psychological studies, but he has done a great job of proving like the power of gratitude with his three things. So every single day, it's like, write three things that have gone well. And it's as simple as that. Anyway, I went to this talk with him, met him, bought his book, all this stuff. It's really funny. So after the fact, I now know like how that's basically a bit like meeting Gandhi or whatever. Like, you know, if you're interested in like the field, he is the big daddy. And I then enrolled on the University of Pennsylvania positive psychology course. So I started studying after work and really enjoying the course. Anyway, long story short is I got really into this idea of gratitude. Like there were so many evidence-based ways of demonstrating that just the simple act of writing down three things you're grateful for is such a powerful way to actually shift you from a victim mindset to a mindset of you're in control one way or another, and especially on days that are just so bad that you know, the days where it's really you're really not sure what there even is to be happy about, they're the days where it matters the most. So that's a very long-winded way of saying, like, you know, the power of gratitude is everything. So I wake up every day. I kind of didn't want to leave it to chance. So even though I do a journal every day, is another thing that's going to save a brain care, I journal every day before I go to bed. And then I do the three things in the journal, but like I like to have it stacked. So I was like, you know, I do those three things. Once that's become a habit, wouldn't it be great to wake up every morning and be grateful? So I tried that theory, right? I was like, cool, I'm going to just wake up and be grateful every day. But it really doesn't happen that way. You have a bad night's sleep or anything might happen. And suddenly you're like, oh, God, fuck off, alarm, bye, walk out, you know, all that stuff. So I learned, you know, again, through learning about habits, just writing a note, making sure that was the first thing that I saw every single morning and being grateful that I've woken up when so many people don't is actually like an incredible hack. And it's as simple as writing yourself a note. And it's, again, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, all these excuses people make. I do it too. Everyone makes excuses. And this is an excuse I was making. I was like, oh, but you know, I can't just wake up and be grateful in the morning. Like, well, I can hack that. I can hack my brain. We can all hack our brains to do the things we want to do. You know, about building habits, it's 99% of it is just, you know, your environment. So if you make your environment the environment you want, like for the person you want to be and the thing you're trying to achieve, and you write things down and stick them in your face as physical reminders, I found it so helpful. So that was a long rant for only two things so far. So one of them is journaling. One of them is gratitude. One of them is trying to get sunlight as early as I can in the morning. Obviously, that really depends on the weather. We live in England, so I've got an SAD light as well. You know, if I don't get it, I try and just make sure that I'm hitting my face with it. And then really the big daddy is going for my walk. Mm-hmm. So I go for a walk every single day, rain or shine. I take a nice little selfie, share it on Instagram. It's become a thing to me in my world. It's become a thing. You know, every day I do it, people message me and say, thank you, this has helped me go for a walk. And what's quite fun is if I don't take a selfie, I get loads of messages being like, where's the walk picture today? Just forgot to take a picture. I did go on a walk.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've now basically got myself into a situation where I have to take my selfie every day. Otherwise I get messages asking if I'm okay, what's going on.
You should build up a bank, just one walk, just take like 10 pictures.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They are highly repetitive photos because we've been in lockdown. So I haven't got anywhere that interesting to go. It's always the same two parks, but you know, the really important ones are the ones where I'm like in full raincoat gear, right? It's pissing down and I'm out there walking and it's still the same. It's an hour and a half walk. And like, you know, Swedish proverb, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothes.
Yeah.
So I think this stuff is just really important. Can't be understated how important it is for brain care to get out in a bit of nature and to move your legs. And, you know, when we talk about the brain care pillars, we don't talk about exercise. It was really important. We do not talk about exercise. We talk about movement.
Mm-hmm.
Movement is so important. So we're talking about like 10 minutes a day if that's all you can do, but less than that on a personal level, if I don't get out and move, like my mental health goes to shit. Mm-hmm. I feel bad, I feel groggy, my negative inner self-talk starts going like crazy. And it's as simple as getting out and moving. And the reason I say all of these is because these are all free, right? So yes, I take our smart supplement, and yes, I do like eat as brain friendly a diet as I possibly can. And yes, I have my water, and yes, I have coffee for energy. I don't drink any coffee after 2 p.m. It's worth saying. That's not like a hard and fast rule. It's a quite a generic rule. Different people, based on their DNA, will be able to methylize coffee like at a or well, basically at a half-life difference to other people. But for me personally, I just try not. Once you've had insomnia, you don't fuck around with your sleep. These are the things, but ultimately, I meditate every single day for at least 10 minutes. I mean, trying to do 20 minutes, I've been failing often, I've been succeeding often. It's a great example of, even with the best will in the world, a promise to myself about what I'm going to be doing in this year. I'm going to take my spiritual practice up a gear, is what I told myself, because it suffered a lot last year. And again, I was finding excuses of myself. I was like, well, it suffered a lot because we've been in lockdown. But actually, that's not really how spirituality works. Spirituality is a journey within. So in theory, it's just an excuse, and I know that. So meditation is a great, as is breath work, but both great exercises in practicing spirituality. And just to touch on that, what does practicing spirituality really mean? It just means being mindful. So we can get into it on another podcast another time, deep conversations on spirituality, but it's so easy to overcomplicate that term. Really, what it means is, finding some space to appreciate and just being mindful of your surroundings and not being completely distracted by a billion things all the time. And I am all of those things, of course. I'm a normal, modern, everyday consumer, which is why I've struggled to go from 10 minutes to 20 minutes consistently every day. But the good news is that I've improved, and that's enough for me. Right. And I think this is probably the last bit of it, which is like finding some self-care, some self-love, some appreciation to not beat myself up when I haven't done something the way that I promised to myself that I would. So these are like everyday things, and they sound like they're a lot, but they're really, really, really not. The last thing I'd add to that actually is learning. So it is important. Like, neuroplasticity is the term. Brain is plastic. It can be anything you want it to be. It's really important in my experience to keep learning. Your walk can basically cover all of that, right? You're going to have some water before you go on your walk. You can walk for 10 minutes or an hour, whatever. You can stick in the podcast. You get out in nature, you're getting fresh air. You're basically getting so many of the things in one go. It's like done and dusted a whole bunch of habits inside an hour. I mean, you can also, one thing I've been doing for the last month actually is just taking my headphones out and just walking in the park in nature for 10 minutes and just appreciating stuff. That's mindful exercise. So that's basically meditation done in a different way as well. So there's so many nice ways of like stacking these things together. But if you ever feel like, it's hard, or this guy's making it all sound like, some element of perfection, it's really not. It's easy to like say, this is the single most important thing I'm going to do today, and then you work your day around that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a really important point around having routine, knowing what works for you, but then having that flexibility and that mindfulness within yourself to know that you might not do 20 minutes some days. You might not do a full hour and a half walk. You've got to have that flexibility because you can so easily beat yourself up for something that is supposed to be helping yourself. So I think it's having that kind of that self-empathy, that self-care, that self-compassion that is so important. I think that's a pretty lovely place to close up. So where can people find out more about yourself, but also about the work that you're doing?
So you can find me at Dan Murray Serter, Serter, at Instagram and Twitter predominantly. If you message me on LinkedIn, then the chances of me responding are so low because there's so many messages there. And unless you're selling me IT technical services, it might be difficult. You can find me there. And then Heights, you can find at Your Heights and yourheights.com. And I would encourage anyone to just head to yourheights.com/braincare just to take a look at the different things that we put into brain care, the different experts, the different scientific articles. It's a really good starting point to learn more about how to look after yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd also encourage people to check out the Braincare podcast. Much shorter episodes than this one, little 15-minute bite size. Yeah, and you might even hear me on there. You never know what you might find.
You will.
So, yeah, Dan, thank you so much, mate. It's been a real pleasure, and I'm sure plenty of nuggets of wisdom and gold for people to take away. So thank you for being here.
Thanks, Jamie.
If you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are a fan of the podcast or enjoyed this episode, it would mean a huge amount to me if you could like, follow, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever it is you get your podcasts. Stay tuned for the next incredible episode of Man Down, and I hope to see you soon.